Well, today we begin a new sermon series called DIY Faith, and I thought, you know, what would be a great way to introduce this sermon series and to have one of our young adult groups put together something from IKEA. So that's what we did, and you know, I said, you know, what I really would love to have is we got to have something from IKEA. We need a Snorgenflorgen. That's what we need. That's what I want. And so we went to go pick this out, and to my disappointment, it's called the Billy. So that's no fun. I mean, is that really Swedish, Billy? But apparently it is. So that's what they did. They did a great job, and this is going to be a lot of fun as we look at this sermon series, DIY Faith. You know, this whole idea of DIY has probably been around since, well, the beginning of creation. I mean, I could just imagine, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, looking on Pinterest for how to put together kind of a fig leaf outfit, right? I mean, we've always wanted to do something that somebody else has done. We've wanted them to show us how to do it so that we could do it ourselves. And now this whole idea of DIY is a $13 billion industry. There's websites, there's articles, there's videos. Anyone really can jump into this and be a DIYer, if you will. And so, you know, part of it is it taps into our creativity, our ability to customize, the part of us that really just wants to jump in and try something new. And not only that, but we get to share it with the whole community. So all the other DIY people out there, we can go online, we can connect with them, we can make our own videos. And there's just something about being able to really just do it ourselves. And really, faith is a DIY experience. Sometimes when we think about faith, we can tend to maybe just want to let the professionals do it. You know, let the professionals pray or read scripture or really kind of journey into faith. But faith is a DIY experience that you and I are meant to do this on our own and with other people. That we're meant to be participants and actually be part of it. And in fact, early Methodism, you know, this is Christ United Methodist Church, so our Methodist denomination began as a movement. And it really began on a college campus at Oxford University in 1729, when a group of college students decided that, you know, they really wanted to live their faith. And so you had John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, a few of their friends, they got together and they said, you know, we really want to live this out. We don't just want to go to church on Sunday, but we want to really connect it to Monday. We want to live our faith. And so they would get together and they would read scripture together. They would pray together. They would encourage each other, ask each other questions, hold each other accountable. They would even go and serve the poor. They would go to prisons and share their faith and really just try to be a blessing to those around them. And people dubbed them the Holy Club. And then they started calling them Methodist because they had a method for living out their faith. But they really just wanted to connect Sunday to Monday. And that's what we're going to look at throughout this sermon series. And today in particular, we're going to look at this idea of what do we do when things don't go according to plan? And so we're going to look at the book of James, starting in chapter 1. And we're going to be traveling through the book of James throughout this sermon series. Starting in chapter 1, in verse 1, it says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. When we think about the most practical DIY experience that you and I can have, it's with prayer. Prayer is the most DIY thing that we can do, but it can also be the most challenging. You know, it's a lot like an old rotary phone sometimes. Y'all remember these phones? You know, you had to stick your finger with the number, roll it around, hit the side. I used to love to do this, you know, see how fast I could do it, which is fun until you missed a number and then you had to start all over and let it kind of wind back around. Even growing up, we had one of these phones that was against the wall of our house. Okay, do you remember this? It was on the wall, and we had a party line. I don't know if that was to save some money or something, but we had a party line, and that's when we shared the phone line with some of the neighbors around us. So sometimes when you go to use the phone, you had to pick it up to see if anyone else was on it. So when you'd pick it up, you have to listen, and it's, oh, somebody's on it, so you had to put it back. Or you'd go to make the call, and then you'd get the busy signal, and then you'd just have to try again. And a lot of times, faith and prayer can feel like that. Then we come to prayer that we can think of, you know, how does this really work? It brings to mind all of these questions we have about prayer. You know, what is it that I'm supposed to say? Can I say the right thing? You know, what if God doesn't hear me? Is God too busy? You know, maybe God has more important things to think about and to pay attention to than the prayers I have to pray. You know, maybe I've forgotten my password. I can't quite, you know, kind of get it there. Maybe I've just dialed the wrong number. I mean, this is sometimes our experience of prayer. And this can be most challenging, especially in those times in which we need prayer the most. Times in which we're experiencing trials and difficulty. And I think that's why James started his letter, or his book as we call it, right at this place of trial. This place where the rubber really does hit the road. He says this. He says this in chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You see, this book of James is what we call wisdom literature. And this wisdom literature is a lot like the Psalms or the Proverbs. And it really is kind of a how-to book. If you've ever read the Bible and you've kind of wondered, okay, but what does this really mean for me today? Then if you were to read a book like Psalms, Proverbs, or the book of James, it's all practical advice. And in particular, the book of James is in light of Jesus and in light of the resurrection. Here's how you and I are to live in the different situations that we face. Here's what we need to do. And so James writes this, you know, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And he's writing this, it says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He's writing to those believers who are just scattered among the nations, maybe to no particular group at all, but to those who believe and are trying to live out the faith. He's saying this, you will face trials. Whether you're in a trial right now, maybe you're just coming out of a trial, or maybe you have a trial that will inevitably come. We all face trials. We all face challenges. We all face these times which tempt us, distract us, create difficulties for us. And for you and for me, one of the greatest misconceptions of faith is that you and I, by following Jesus, that we get to escape all these hardships, that we won't face any trials at all, that you and I won't face any difficulties, no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no loss, no doubts. But in fact, it really oftentimes feels like the opposite. That the moment that we decide to follow Jesus, that's when all these challenges begin to come. It's like the moment we say, okay, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start giving to the church or to ministries or to programs, to things that make a difference. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start spending time with people you've called me to. When we start doing those things, all of a sudden the distractions come. That seems to be the moment that things just begin to not work out. You know, our car breaks down, the cat keeps jumping on our Bible when we try to read it, or our cat goes to live with the neighbors next door. True story, that really happened. And, you know, all these things begin to happen. It's like a bad country song sort of thing, and all these things begin to happen, and we just feel like, oh man, everything is coming against us. All these trials are coming up, and I always wonder, because sometimes people would even say, you know, all these challenges are coming because I'm trying to do this. But I think oftentimes it's because we're just more aware of the challenges that are around us. When we get serious about our faith, when we get serious about the things that are most important in life, when we get serious about changing our lives, whether it's for the first time or maybe we're trying to recommit, we're trying to get back on track, that when we really get serious, we become more aware of the challenges that face us all the time. Those challenges, those trials that were always around us. We just become more aware of them than we ever have before. And that's what I really want to commend to our confirmation students today. Because many of us know this truth, we've lived this truth, we've journeyed with Jesus. But I want to commend this to those who are confirming their faith. That when you begin a life of faith, it doesn't make your life easier, but it does make it better. It doesn't make your life easier. In fact, it may make your life more difficult and more challenging. That you're going to find those times where you're going to stand against your peers, stand against your culture, maybe your family, maybe their hopes and dreams for you. And you're going to say, this life of faith is hard. Wouldn't it be better if I was just like everyone else? But I will promise you, while faith won't make your life easier, it will make your life better. You see, sometimes we think the easy path is always the best path in life. That the easy path, well, that's the best path. That even times when we experience and face difficulties and hardships, that maybe there's something wrong. Sometimes we can even get this idea in our head that God is doing it to us. Then we think that God is angry with us. And really the opposite is true. That when you and I face difficulty, that God is right there with us. That's what the cross symbolizes. That our Jesus is with us, even in the most difficult, excruciating circumstances. And that sometimes God will call us and lead us and encourage us into these places, into these moments that are difficult, require more of us than we ever thought that we could give. And God is saying, I am right there with you. I am going to journey through this with you. It's not easier, but it is better. It's not always going to be easy, but know in the end, it is better. And that's why I love how James begins his letter to people scattered among the nations. He begins right where it matters the most. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you will, you'll have times in which you face persecution, times in which you face temptation, times in which you face suffering and loss, times in which you have family difficulty and financial struggles. When you have these moments, he says this, consider it pure joy. How is he able to do that? I mean, can we really consider it pure joy? I think the only way that we can really consider all these things pure joy, because they happen regardless, they're present no matter what. These things will happen, they're going to happen. It's just a promise, it's a fact of life. But he says you can change your perspective, how you see it, how you interact with it, whether or not you embrace it. He said, consider it pure joy. And we can only do this because of the resurrection, because of what we celebrated at Easter and continue to celebrate today. That when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, that he defeated all the enemies that are ever present in our life, everything that could stand against us, even death. And Jesus defeated and conquered them. Now, because of the resurrection, God has the final word, the last word. So now when we face these moments, this is what James is telling us. Now when we face these moments, he says you can consider it pure joy because these moments are not wasted moments. These moments can matter. And not only can they matter, but they can even have a benefit. He says, consider it pure joy because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And he says, let perseverance do its work. Enter into the process. Let it do its work so that you will be mature and not lacking anything. Because of the resurrection, all of it can matter now. When we have these moments of struggle, trial, temptation, they're not a loss anymore. Now they can matter. And he tells us this in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Because even though we might know that these moments are not wasted and they still matter, they can still be difficult. They can still demand more of us than we ever think we have. And in these moments, James says, when you encounter these times, when you find your faith is being tested and you find yourself in these seasons where you're growing in maturity and in perseverance, and you know the end result, but you just wonder if you can make it another day, he says, ask God for wisdom. In other words, he's saying, ask God to give you perspective. Ask God to show you what it all means. Ask God to be there in those moments where you need strength. That you need to know that God is there. He says, ask. Because just like as we make these phone calls, you know, we're not really sure if this is the right time, if we have the right words, how we're supposed to do it. In those same ways, we can think, you know what, I bet God doesn't want to hear my prayer. I don't know if God is going to be there for me. I don't know if God is too busy. I don't know if this thing is too small for God, or if it's too big for God, or if God is even there at all. We can feel like God is distant, or God is angry, or God wouldn't want to hear from us. But he says, here's how you need to understand it. Ask. Because God is generous and gives to all without finding fault. You see, when you go to pray, God's not going to say, well, I appreciate you coming to prayer, but you know, it's been a while since you've been at church, and you know, which wouldn't be for y'all, because y'all came to Sunday after Easter. I mean, y'all are the holy saints right here. This is awesome. You get extra credit for that, by the way. But he's like, oh, well, you do have this credit. You came after Easter. So God's not going to say, you know what, you haven't prayed in a long time. I'm not really sure. You know what, you didn't use the right words. Or you know what, really that problem's really just too small for me. I have kind of cosmic things to worry about. James says, ask. Because God is generous and doesn't find fault with anyone at all. And he goes on to say, when you ask, ask with true faith. He says, believe and not doubt. He's not saying you can't have questions or you can't kind of struggle. He's saying the best way to do this is to be all in. You got to dive right to the bottom. Because if you stay at the surface, you're just going to be tossed around. If you're going to pray but not really mean it, he's saying, why should you expect an answer? He's saying, dive right in, because that is when you experience the goodness and grace of God. You won't always have the answers. You won't always have the words. You won't always feel like it's the right time. But he says, dive right in. That's how we do it. A few years ago, I was asked to officiate a funeral, and it was one of the first funerals I was really ever asked to officiate for a woman named Suzanne, and I'd never met Suzanne, and as her family came in to meet with me, they began to tell me about her, and they told me Suzanne was one of those women who was, she was just accomplished, seemingly from birth. She won a roller skating championship. She got certified as a scuba diver. She was the first one to graduate college in her family. And she went to work for a company managing multi-unit housing. And as she began to develop ideas, and her boss encouraged her to maybe go and try her ideas on her own. And so she did. And so she went and started her own company and was very successful. But at the age of 49, she was diagnosed with colon cancer, what they call the silent killer. She can have symptoms and not even know it. And that was her experience. And so as she come to grips with her diagnosis, she says, you know what, God didn't do this to me, but I want to make this count. I want to make this matter. And her family began to tell me of all the ways in which she would volunteer and invest in those who were diagnosed with the same condition and how she was such an encouragement to them. And that she would even volunteer for every medical study and trial that they had in hopes to find a cure, but also to give them all the information that they needed. That she would say that even if they don't cure me, I want to help whoever comes after me. That's what I want to give my life and remaining moments towards. And so over the next 5 years, she battled and struggled. She had setbacks and complications, but she stretched out that 6-month diagnosis to 5 years. But her legacy that she left was that she made her life count. She really was an example of how you live your faith. And in these moments where she was facing the greatest trials that you and I ever face, she says, this is how I'm going to face it. I'm going to face it knowing that God is with me, and that God has given me strength, and that my story is not over. Because of everything that God has done for me and the grace that he gives to me each and every day. And so today, no matter where you are, whether you're in a trial, maybe a trial that stretched on for years, maybe you're coming out of a trial, or maybe for those moments in the future where your faith will be tested, may you know that God is near to you. And may you be able to come to this place where you can say, I consider it pure joy, because I know even though I would never choose these moments, that these moments don't define me, God defines me. I consider it pure joy because I know that though my faith is being tested, there's developing within me perseverance. And that perseverance is growing me into the person that God is shaping me to be. And I don't do it alone. But God is with me. And I'm surrounded by those who love and care for me and say, we are with you too. That's how we do this together. Will you pray with me? God, as we come and gather in this place, we gather from so many different places on our own journey and in our lives, maybe places of great joy or places of great struggle. But God, may we know that you are near to us, that your grace comes to us even before we ask, that your grace says to us that we belong, that we are your sons, that we are your daughters, that there are no wasted moments, that no matter what we face in this life, that Jesus, you have overcome it, and that you are with us. So God, may we know that we can come to you and come to you in prayer, even in those moments in which we are not sure the words that we can say, but we know that your Spirit prays and groans for us. That God, that you just want this relationship with us. And that whatever we say is enough. So God, I thank you. For those who need a word of hope today, may they know your hope. For those who need to know that your grace is present with them, may they know your grace. and for those, God, who are ready to say yes to you. Maybe for the first time or the first time today to say, I am with you, Lord Jesus. May they know your strength, your power, and your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.